Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Today's readings will be from Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word of God for the people of God.
So, this week, Gail and I did date day. We started doing date day a couple of years ago because typically by 7 o'clock in the evening, we're both asleep. And the sofa and the recliner are our best friends. So now we've started doing date afternoon. I highly recommend it. We got in the car to go on our date day, and I heard these dreaded words. So where are we going? And I hate that question, because for me, the answer is always Mexican. And I only eat Mexican on days that end in Y. So I'm figuring, you know, that's always where we're going. But we had already done Mexican twice, so I knew that wasn't going to fly. And I was afraid, you know, there's so much pressure involved in that question, especially on date day. If I answer wrong, I'm going to mess this up. And so I decided that I would flip the switch a little bit. And so I said, we're going to one of these three places. You get to pick. Guys, free. That's free for you today. She picked. We went there. We had a great afternoon. And by 7 o'clock, again, we were both sound asleep. And it was a wonderful day together. So many times we set life up as win-lose. So often in our lives, it's either win or lose. And if it's win or lose, by George, I'm going to win. Or die trying. But rarely is it really about win-lose. If we can flip the switch just a little bit, it can be win-win. It's not salt versus pepper. It's salt and pepper. It's not young versus old. It's young and old. It's not peanut butter versus jelly. It's peanut butter and jelly. It's not Coke versus Pepsi. Well, really, it is about it. Really is about that. But it's about win-win. And when I win and when Gail wins, our relationship wins. And it seems to me that's how we ought to set up the world and the relationships that we are a part of. I can tell you, been a heck of a week. There's been senseless violence in several places this week. Stupidity. The way that we win is not by killing people. I can tell you this week there have been consistently power politics being played, from the dog catcher in Youngsville to way beyond there. And I can tell you that pulling your power is not the way to win. Over the next few days, we're going to be in conversation about the future of this church. And if you come to argue and debate, no one will leave winning. I also have to tell you a little bit honestly, I'm disappointed more of you have not signed up. It's your opportunity to say to me what you think the future of the church should be. But for those of you who come, we're going to discuss what God would have us to be, and we're going to practice bearing up one another in those times together. Bearing up does not mean that you are a bear. It means more that you're a bench. We're going to listen to one another. And Paul says it over and over again. I beg you to walk in the manner of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you with humility and gentleness and patience, bear up one another in love. And the only way that can happen is if we listen to one another. If only someone had been listening to a young man wrestling with his demons, maybe that rifle could have been kept out of his hand in Utah. If only someone had listened, understanding that school violence was about to happen again. If only someone had listened. If only those people who think they have power would listen. Bear up one another, Paul says. You have two ears and you have one mouth. There's a reason for that. And when we use our ears more than our mouth, we have the fullness of our heart because we are living in the imitation of Jesus the Christ. Just listen. Most of the time, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening. I hear what you're saying, and I'm so busy formulating my response to what you're saying that I really don't care what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I'm ready for you to take a breath so I can tell you you're wrong. We're being fitted for hearing aids. That's our next date day. See, young adults, where are you? Mostly over here. Things change. I swear to you, I promise you, I thought the hearing aid guy was going to say to me, you don't need hearing aids. You need listening aids. Maybe all of us need to get a set of listening aids. Just listen. You don't have to respond. Just listen. In the days to come, the Pastor Search Committee is going to be coming together. And the first thing that we're going to do in our first few meetings is learn to listen to one another. Just listen. And I'm begging of you who are not on the Pastor Search Committee, leave them alone. I know you're going to want to hear everything they're doing, but leave them alone and let them work their work as they listen to the Spirit of God. The pastor who is being prepared for you already is going to be looking at a couple of things. First of all, how you give. What's the work of the church like, and how do you give as a congregation? Secondly, how do you treat your staff? Do you listen to your staff, or do you fight your staff? Are you an obstacle for your staff? The next pastor is already looking for those kinds of things. And the third thing, how do you do life together? In other words, how do you listen to each other? And those are the criteria by which we will be judged as God is preparing the next person to come and stand in this place. My friend Seth Godin says it like this. Perhaps as we do community, we worry less about winning battles. Perhaps in community we worry less about winning battles. We focus on good sense and on honor and on truth, and let the rest fall as it will. We focus on good sense and honor and truth. Listening, however, does not mean that I let you walk all over me. Because if I give you the gift of my attention, I'm expecting that you will give me that same opportunity. And as we share with one another, we find out that there's more that unites us than more that divides us. There is more that makes us the family of God in this place than makes us different. And that only happens as we listen to one another. Paul says in verse 15 of this chapter, speak the truth in love. And if I know you're doing that, I will listen to you. And I pray you will listen to me as well. A man named Fred came to my office. Fred was a reprobate. His family were members of our church. But Fred was there every now and then, but he was a reprobate. He had the most beautiful family. Their kids were in our youth group and our children's group. His wife was involved in different things. But Fred, he was a reprobate. He came to my office and sat down and said, "Preacher, I ain't what I ought to be." They tell me, "Preacher, that I've got cancer. And in the next year or so, I'm going to be dead. And right now, preacher, I know the devil is ready for me. And I deserve I deserve that. Preacher, is there any way you think Jesus would have me? And I'm thinking, while he's telling me that you are a reprobate, you are the sorriest. If we were to vote tomorrow, we'd vote you out of the church. But then he said, do you think Jesus would have me? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Yes. Yes, Fred, Jesus would have you. He said, preacher, I know I'm dying. And I know you hear this from people like me all the time. But in the time I have left, I want to do better. And I said, yes, Fred. Do you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Yes, preacher, I do. And in those few moments as we prayed together, I tell you, I don't know how God works. I just know that God works. And a man who was on his way to hell, when we bowed to pray, stood up and left my office knowing he had hope of heaven. On Sunday morning, Fred was on the front row ready to join when we sang the song. His family was not there. Fred came and joined the church and asked for baptism and church membership, which we affirmed and gave to him. And it was an amazing day. And people went away going, I never thought I'd see Fred come and join this church. Do you know he's a reprobate? I said, yeah, I do. But not anymore. On Monday morning, his wife was in my office. Who do you think you are? I said, I'm not sure of the question. How in the world could you let a man like Fred Taylor be a part of this church? If that's what this church is about, I will not ever be here again, and my family will not ever be here again. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, yes, I do. And I'm sorry. I know he has hurt you, and I know I have probably hurt you, and I know you are angry. And I'm sorry for that. But your husband wants to do better. Your husband wants to follow Jesus. What would you have me do with that? What would you have me do with that? We did what we do as church. We embraced this man who had nothing left and hoped against hope we would receive him, and we did. And a few weeks later, we baptized him, and his family was not there. And a couple of weeks later, I had a scathing letter from Debbie telling me I'll spare you the word. But we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And whoever comes, we embrace. Because that's what we do. We bear up one another. We love one another. We listen to one another. And we live as Jesus. Pray together. Lord, we're none of us worthy, but all of us are hopeful. And we need you. We need to follow you. We need to imitate you. Help us, God, not to judge one another. Help us, rather, to listen and see what might happen. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.